the 2025 main event, and the message today is something very, very unique, and you're going to have to follow me, especially toward the end of this. Dying ministers, mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Mysterious harbingers at the end of the age. Yes. So let me say this. This is going to be a very unusual message. I'm going to give you some detailed information about ministers of the gospel. Most of them you've heard of or you know. And I'm going to show you something. There is a real key that right before the flood of Noah, there was a man that lived. There was one man left who was truly prophetic. His name was Methuselah, and he died 7 days before the flood came. So he was a sign of what was coming in the end. And this is all going to come into play with one minister who still lives. And I'm going to name him on the in this teaching today, later, a little later on. The verse I use is Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. And it simply says this. So the last will be first, the first will be last. Many are called, but few are chosen. I look up Greek words all the time. I look up a word to see what it means. And when you look up this word called from this biblical reference, it means to be invited. So God calls people. He invites them into the kingdom. He invites them into the wedding supper, which is the marriage supper. So being called means he's given you an invitation. When the Bible says God will fill people with his spirit to as many as God will call. That doesn't mean called to preach. And that means called to be saved. So if you're saved, you're called to do something for God. But then there's another group. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now that word in Greek means selected. When you say the word select, you hear a word in select. Drop the S and it is elect. Now, you hear the Bible, the New Testament, many times talk about God's elect. And God's elect means those who are selected for an assignment to their particular generation for a particular purpose. Now, I know when I was called to preach at age 18, all I knew was I was going to go to churches and I was going to preach revivals because that's what an evangelist did back in that day. I had absolutely no clue whatsoever of what God's will for my life would be. I didn't know that in the 1980s, I would go to Israel. I think it was 80. Charlie, what year was it? Do you remember what year we went the first time?
1985.
That was AI, by the way. No, that was Charlie. When I went to Israel in 1985, my guide, Gideon Shore, showed me the earthquake fault line on the Mount of Olives, which is predicted in Zechariah 14. He showed me at the Dead Sea where it was dividing, becoming two seas. That's in the book of Ezekiel. He showed me the sealed eastern gate and how it was almost open, but it remained sealed for the Messiah. That's Ezekiel 44. So I came back in that year excited because we had taken slide pictures. And some of you remember these. I would go to churches and Saturday night was prophecy night. And I would show the slides and you'd see does anybody remember those days? Edgemere, Maryland. If you're from Maryland, you will definitely remember this. And that's how we got started in prophecy. And then we turned them into videos and later DVDs because it was the most popular night. Now, I remember preaching. I got to say this because this is funny. I remember preaching a message in 1986. I think it's when I started. It may have been a little earlier, called The Ashes of the Red Heifer. And it was a message I got a lot of criticism on. I mean, in the COG, who I was connected with, I was really mocked for preaching that message because we talked about the rebuilding of a temple. We talked about the Parah Adomah, the ashes of the heifer. We talked about an excavation taking place at the Dead Sea Scrolls with a guy named Vindel Jones, etc. Does anybody remember that message? Do I have enough people that's been with me long enough to remember that message? Okay. And so I was very much criticized for that message. And then in 1988, Time Magazine put out an article of the necessity of the ashes of the red heifer in order for there to be a Jewish temple. Well, I had one man, Floyd Lahan. Floyd's in heaven, and Floyd is my buddy. Lahan used to say, "Oh God, Perry's getting into the crazy stuff. Holy Ghost, help him." And he criticized my message on the ashes of the... You remember this, Robert. We were in Israel, and what did he do? We go into a rabbi's tunnel. A rabbi explains to him the necessity of a red heifer to purify the articles of a temple. And Lahan comes back to me. He goes, "I need to apologize to Perry. I thought he was getting into heresy, but he was right." And I looked at Floyd in front of everybody and said, now, go tell those 50 preachers you told that I was crazy. Floyd's my lifelong mentor and buddy. But then I get emails in 2025. Perry, I'm sending you a message on the ashes of the red heifer. Have you heard about this? And it's kind of like, yeah, I've kind of heard about that like many, many several decades ago. So God began to put me in the Hebrew roots of the faith. He began to put me in types and shadows. He began to put me in, some of that strange teaching of biblical numbers and what they mean and the Hebrew alphabet and the symbolism. So that became known as the teaching of the Hebrew roots of Christianity. Then he began to share with me the prophecy message in general. And so we began to move from just evangelistic preaching in churches to the prophecy message and also to the message of the Hebrew roots. And I'm honestly going to stand here and tell you, I'm 66 years of age. See, I was honest. 66 years of age. But I want to tell you that I took a beating. Brian Cutshaw is on the front row. He'll remember. I took a beating from the older ministers. I mean a verbal beating, not a physical beating, by preaching the Hebrew roots of Christianity. They didn't understand it. The general overseer of our denomination, I had lunch with him. I said, what's the deal with me being persecuted? He said, you preach types and shadows, and our pastors don't preach that. They don't understand it, Perry. So they don't understand it. And when people come to them and they'll say, what do you think about Perry's teaching on so-and-so? They will say, well, I don't agree with it. He said, many preachers will say that about your teaching because they don't understand what you're teaching. So instead of saying, you need to talk to Brother Stone, that's not my specialty. That's the honorable way of saying, you know what? You need to talk to so-and-so about that. I'm just not in that field. So to defend their own ministry, and that was the general overseer of our denomination at the time, a great man of God that shared that with me. So I had to receive a lot of pressure and persecution because even my son Jonathan said, Dad, you were preaching stuff way before the time. Where's my older partners here? And they used to say that. And Robert, we've talked about it. God would begin to show me things to come. But when you step out with things to come and they're not happening, let me say it this way, in a good way, you kind of become a target for criticism. And I'm telling you, it just comes with the territory. Now, I meditated about this. I said, why is it that God chooses some people over others? For example, you can go into a city. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia with my friend Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin, I was his first evangelist at his church holding a revival when the church ran 350 people. We kept going back year after year. We had a five-week revival. We've had many revivals in Jensen's church over the years, but that church grew into now four campuses, and there are tens of thousands of members, not just there in Gainesville, but all over the place. So how does God bless a Jensen Franklin, but there's another pastor, great preacher, loves people, even has a media ministry that may be in Atlanta or in his area, but they don't have maybe 400 to 500 people coming. And this has been a mystery to a lot of ministers over the years. Why is it that it seems one minister has all this growth, but another minister who's just as anointed, has a powerful word, doesn't seem to have the growth? And the answer is, many are called, but few are chosen. So if you're chosen to do something from the Lord, let me say something about the anointing. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance in Romans. And what that means is the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. If you are called, you might not be preaching or teaching, but that doesn't mean the call has left you. And when you're chosen to do something, I want to say something that's going to, boy, I'm going to do a message on this one day. God protects the assignment. And sometimes God covers the person. Sometimes God has to deal with the person because he has to keep them right on track on the assignment. If you get off of your assignment as a person who has been chosen of God for something particular, number one, you'll be miserable. And number two, God will have to spank you. How many know what God's spankings are called? Say it. Chastisement. Not judgment, but chastisement. But it does that because he has to put you back where your assignment is. So I have given you, I'm going to give you right now, several things of what makes the difference between someone who is just called to do it versus someone who was chosen for a major assignment. Number one, God looks at faithfulness because the Bible says he is faithful and true. 8 times in the book of Revelation, faithful and true. So the Bible says if you're faithful over little things, what will happen? I'll make you a ruler over many things. Secondly, God knows men or women who'll tell the truth. And he wants to raise up those who are true who are actual truth tellers, who stick with the truth, maintain the truth, and do not compromise the truth. And the people, I'm telling you, who really stand with truth are going to be persecuted. And that just comes with the territory. Number three, he looks at people who will be obedient to what he tells them to do. Now, this sister over here, Sister Becky, told you her story the other day. They were having a good life, and God tells her to go down to Mexico and start an orphanage. It don't make a bit of sense. But you know what? God has been with her and blessed her because she did the obedient thing. And so she has chosen of the Lord to do what she does and has a grace on her to do what she does because she's obedient to that particular thing. Building, how do you think, listen, this building was $22 million with all the equipment. How does a young preacher, well, young, I wasn't that young, but I was younger than I am now. How does a minister step out, does not send out letters asking for money, does not get on TV and beg for donations? How do you know you're about to build a building that's going to cost that kind of money, and all you got is $4 million to start the building? That's what God looks for. God says, I want to find Perry Stone. Well, why do you? I asked Pam one day, I said, Pam, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you really think the Lord has helped me to do everything we've done? It's a lot. Around, gospel around the world, OCI, ISO, you know, Brian and I have built that together, and VOE. And she, you know what she did? She thought for a moment, she said, because he know you do it. Because he knew you would do it. And that's how I feel about everything that, come on, let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Obedience. Number four is God knows that people who are chosen will sacrifice their time to do what needs to be done. And I know in my life, and I don't want to point this to me, but it's, I can give you the best example. There are times that I still go into 10 hours a day, 12 hours, 14 hours. I study and I write. Like I said the other day, I take the breaks now. I go home when I need to go home and spend time with my family and that type of thing. But I want to tell you something. Think about, in my situation, I don't play golf. I tried. And when you are so mad you want to cuss, you better stop the game right there, okay? And I couldn't hit a ball, and I was getting mad, and I was swinging my clubs, and I just said, this is not for, because I'm going to tell you something up front. Perry Stone is not going to play a game he can't win. Pam Stone is a hoot. I ought to tape her sometimes. She plays Uno. You know those card games that families play? She has all these family card games. My mind does not work with math. I can't play them because I'm trying to figure 2, 5, 8, 6, and you know who's got this. So I don't play them, but she plays them, and I'm telling you, she knows how to do that. But you know why I do not play with her, you know, with any kind of a family card game? I lose. I don't like to lose. Can I have somebody help me out in this place? Is there anybody that feels like I do? You know, you're not going to play it if you can't win it, all right? The fifth thing, so we've got faithfulness, preaching the truth, obedience, making a sacrifice, being willing to sacrifice your time and your money to do the work of God. And when I talk about sacrificing your finances, do y'all realize that on those tables, every book, CD, DVD, video, go back as far as you want to go, every time, this that we're making this week for this conference are DVDs and flash drives. And do you realize Perry Stone gets zero from that? I get no commission. I get no whatever they want to call it. We have put everything back into the ministry from the time I was 18 years of age because that, and he, can I tell you something? That's a sacrifice. Because there's times you might need something personally. Let me say something else a lot of you don't know. With a 501c3 organization, I cannot go and just tell my secretary, my bookkeeper Susan, go buy this for me and go buy this for Pam. I can do nothing unless it's approved by the board of directors, and Brian's a part of this, and he knows the income that comes in. We have to put everything back in, and if it's raised for ministry, it has to go for ministry. It is an IRS rule that we do not break. So because of sacrifices that you make, God honors your sacrifice. See, some of you came here, it was a sacrifice to you to come here. But how many of you know every now and then the sacrifice is worth doing? Amen. See, you've been blessed, you've been helped, you've met people. Now, number five, I'm going to go through this quickly, is being able to hear, or what the Bible called being swift to hear. And I can truly say about our ministry that when the Lord has ever spoken to me to do something, I have immediately, I don't question it, I start pursuing it at that moment. Now, let me go from that point of why God chooses certain people to share this with you for a moment, and that is this. Let's look, we're going to begin a journey here into this message, and this is where it really, really begins, and that is this, America's spiritual turning points. Now, for the United States of America, our turning points began really after the Civil War. Now, here's what began to happen. After the Civil War ended, there began to be awakenings that began to happen all around the United States. In 1896, in Cherokee County, which is down in the Murphy area, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that birthed many of the main denominations that are now in Cleveland, Tennessee. And then in Topeka, Kansas, at the Bible School in 1906,1901, there was an outpouring of the Spirit that happened there at the beginning of the year from 1900 to 1901. It led to great Midwestern revival. Then in 1906, there was the Azusa Street Revival that lasted for 10 years. And when we go back to 1896, the date of the first outpouring 40 miles from here, and we go to 1932, during that time, there were eight major full gospel, some would call them Pentecostal, I call them full gospel churches or denominations that were birthed during that frame that still exist in the United States and around the world. So in 36 years, as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit began to spread, think about this, eight major, and you had the Four Square, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, the Pentecostal Church of God in Christ. We could go on and on down the list. So this was a time that men began to talk about something. And when Israel became a nation in 1948, because you have 1896, then you have Israel become a nation in 1948, and that's a 62 year period, there was something that was called the latter rain movement. Now, the word latter rain is in James. He waits for the fruit of the earth. Jesus does. He doesn't come till he receives the early rain and the latter rain. So in their opinion, because the Holy Spirit started being poured out, because the healing revival hit the United States, and what you saw last night happened in the healing revivals with Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Jatko, this happened constantly. They had lines just wrapping around the tent. And so this was nothing new. But when that time came, because Israel was a nation in 1948 and the revival started in 1948, actually in June of 48, everybody called it the Restoration Revival, and it lasted for probably 7 years. It started in 1948, goes up into the 1950s, and Dr. E.L. Terry, who was a part of this revival, said to me and Charlie one day, he said, listen, I can remember when there was 106 evangelists that could put up a tent or book an auditorium or an armory and pack it out. All of them. And they were preaching healing, just like you saw Billy Burke last night preaching and ministering healing. That was what the emphasis was. So from 48, for 7 years, you had this emphasis on healing. Then in 1967, in June, by the way, something happened in Israel. They were restored as a nation in 48, but they recaptured Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza in 1967. Great prophecy being fulfilled, because now Jerusalem is not a divided city. It is now a city that's united under Jewish government, the Israeli or Jewish government. So in 1967, the Lord says this, when the Lord builds up Zion, which is Jerusalem, then he will appear in his glory. Psalms 102. And so in 1967 came what was called the Charismatic Renewal. It lasted from about 67. It was very strong from 67 to about 72. And Billy was mentioning last night, Catherine Kuhlman, he was healed of, completely healed of cancer under her ministry. You heard the story, amazing story. And so in that time, you had another move of the Spirit, and this move of the Spirit started among the nominal churches. From 48 to 67, it was full gospel churches. Everybody's speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in 67, and then after 67, you'll remember the Jesus Revolution came. And by the way, what you're seeing happen now is the second Jesus Revolution. If you all come up under the Jesus, I was a kid, but if you come up under the Jesus Revolution, you remember it, how they were baptizing in the rivers and they were just baptizing in horse troughs and bathtubs. That's the same thing happening. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Praise God. So we see that these outpourings of the Spirit, and I want to call them also awakenings, come in cycles. Now listen to this quote from Look Magazine, 1962. It was a Church of the Brethren prayer meeting, and there was a prophetic word through the gifts of the Spirit given. This which you now see and this which you now hear shall spread the length and breadth of not only this land, but around the world. And every remnant of faith shall taste of what I'm doing. And this remuneration and this restoration of my Spirit shall cause men to fall before their God and cause men to melt together, and they shall forget their differences and recognize the true and the living God. This was given in 1962. Several years later, in 1967, in the month of June, Israel goes into the Six-Day War, which was the prophetic war outside of Israel becoming a nation in 48. This was the second greatest fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Then watch what happened starting in June of 67. 1967, FGBMI, Full Gospel Businessmen International, with Demas Shakarian, was formed with thousands of businessmen, many of them nominal in their faith, hearing about the gifts and the Holy Spirit. Then in 1967, the AGLO, which was the woman's section of the fellowship, was organized, and tens of thousands of women were involved in what was called AGLO, and many of them secular, many of them nominal, and they start coming into the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then in February of 1967, the Catholic Charismatic Movement hit, and that's where, from in the 1960s and 70s, the woman Catherine Kuhlman was involved in ministering to people, and people were being healed, and she did this. Her thing was, I believe in miracles. I can hear her, because I believe in God. So 48 is pivotal. 1967 is pivotal. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in through a list of ministers, and I'm going to show you one minister who at this moment, and he could pass away this evening, but one moment is still living, and why his life and his living and being alive right now as an older man is prophetically significant. And then we're going to talk about the Methuselah parallel. Anybody ready for this? Give the Lord a hand if you're ready for this. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Kahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other the other messages
methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today.
One of the ways you keep Manifest on the air around the world is the purchase of our resource materials. We depend upon you, especially here in the United States, to purchase these materials to help us to keep the gospel going literally around the entire world. And this main event had some of the most unusual content and powerful content for the times that we are now in. So may I encourage you, if you've not done so yet, to please put an order in for the DVDs, the CDs, or even the MP3, and help us to continue the Manifest telecast here in the United States on our networks and also around the world. And if you can't do that, or maybe you're not interested, then please help us with a special donation this week to continue the outreaches, the 7 outreaches that we have. Now, speaking of outreaches, here's where we're going to be. March the 13th to the 15th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Sanctuary of Sylacauga, Pastor Freddie Edwards for a weekend camp meeting revival. This is going to be a great time. I haven't been there in years, and I'm looking forward to that. Gateway Church, Nick McSpadden in Russellville, Alabama, March the 20th through the 22nd. Once again, a Friday, 2 services Saturday, and all day Sunday service. And I want you from the Alabama area, compile together, get in your cars, and come and join me there. And of course, the 27th to the 29th, Omega Center International will be Warrior Fest 2026. Get your registration in for that. And don't forget, the end of April, the Prophetic Summit. PerryStone.org is where you get more information. Thank you. See you next week.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit PerryStone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit PerryStone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.